Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. From heaven above to earth he came, and we can't help talking about it. What we celebrate during the time of Advent, the time in which we reflect upon the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his coming in the flesh, born of Mary, his coming to us through his word now, and his coming again at the end of time. It all begins before there was time, before there was space. There wasn't even nowhere. Because there wasn't even a somewhere. And into the nothingness our Lord spoke. And his all-powerful word created everything. He called it all into being in the midst of chaos. And his all-powerful word shaped it all and created all things. With his word, he brought forth the heavens and the earth. The Word separated the water from the dry ground. The Word flung the stars across the heavens. The Word hung the planets in their orbits. The Word brought vegetation upon the earth and birds to flight and created all creatures, great and small, that live in the sea and on the earth. The Word created man in the image of God, forming him from the dust that had been created. And the Word breathed into him the very breath of life, and man became a living being. We can't talk about the significance of our Lord's coming if we don't understand the tragic, catastrophic change that he came to save us from. At that time that I spoke of, all creation lived in harmony and peace together with him who is the word of truth and is the word of life. But the unity of creation, the harmony of creation, the life of creation was shattered with a lie, with words that were chosen to mislead and to deceive. The liar brought alienation, separation, which is death, into the world. The liar promised great things to Adam and Eve with his deceptive words. He promised wisdom and freedom and power and all those things that supposedly God had deprived them of, that he was holding out from giving them. But temptation never delivers, does it? It never really delivers. There are always consequences. Lingering diseases, worries, danger, fear, shame. And finally, always alienation, separation, and death. An entire field of literature, we call it the tragedy, is a reflection upon the frailties, starting out always with a minor frailty of mankind, a moment's indiscretion, a brief giving in to the desires of the flesh, a moment's failing, a brief bit of self-indulgence, and we end up hurting those we love the most and suffer through another failure, and so more regrets. Now, what's remarkable, and what we can't stop talking about, what makes it so that Our lips, as Luther puts it, can't keep silence. Is that our Lord came in to such a mess that he himself came into this mess to live in the midst of it. And I was trying to think, okay, how do we reflect the culture shock of holiness coming into this broken, sinful world? Try this. Just think of one evening of entertainment, and yes, I'm putting that in quotes, on TV. And include all the cable channels. Yeah, those two. The seedy ones. And just think of our Savior being subjected to one evening of that sewer that pours out through that tube in the middle of our living rooms if we don't change the channel like we're supposed to. And then you mix in the daily outpouring of lies and deceit from every liar on earth. Yeah, we like to say, oh, you know, talk about the politicians, talk about, fill in the blank, advertising. But no, we got to include our lies too. Throw in the deaths of the innocent. Well, not so innocent, but at least not guilty or under sentence of death. Include the children. Include the unborn. And then add the corruption of everyone who becomes a slave to drink or a slave to drugs or a slave to porn or a slave to compulsive lying, or you can fill in all of the vices imaginable. Think of the places of violence and corruption that the police won't even go, that have been just abandoned to vice and corruption. And it's into this world, remember, that Jesus came, knowing what he would see, knowing what he would hear, knowing that the liars would call him a liar, knowing that the brutal would brutalize him, knowing that the slaves of death would kill him, the Lord of life. And consider the fact that he did this obviously before you or I, or really anybody, knew what he was doing. The reign of God came into this world, as we read in our first lesson, in the form of humility and service and in suffering. And what he did didn't make any sense to the world. Among the violent, he didn't retaliate. Among the liars, he spoke only the truth. Among the resentful, he was merciful. So foolish that the Bible says he was like a sheep to the slaughter. It made no sense to anybody but himself, because he came to give his life in exchange for you, to rescue you, to redeem you. He came as the innocent for the guilty, the truth, the embodiment of truth for the liars, and the righteous for everyone who's unholy. And because of this, he accomplished an atonement, an at-one-ment, if you remember, catechism class, that he made us one with one another and with him, that he reconciled us, he made peace for us by offering himself up in our place, so that the day is going to come when you will have no shame, no recollection of flaws and failings, no regrets, no fears, no sorrows, no alienation, no separation, no death. In this last lesson that we read, we saw what happened with the deaf-mute man by the Sea of Galilee. His friends brought him to Jesus because they'd seen just a smidgen of what he could do. And they begged with Jesus, it says. They pleaded with Jesus to heal this man. They were true friends. And what did Jesus do? Our text says he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat. And he touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Jesus got really close to the man. This gives us some understanding of the intensity with which God reaches out to us to make us his own. He becomes intimate with us. He stuck his fingers in the man's ears. He spat. Some people read that he spat in the man's mouth and then touched his tongue. Well, I don't know. But it was way more intimate than we get with people normally. And then he uttered the powerful word, "Be opened." And it was so. And we can see that God came into the world, into the flesh, and dwelt among men. And Luther, in his wonderful hymn, reflecting upon everything that he did, not just this, but everything that he did, he says, "My heart for very joy must leap. My lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song." And so it was with these people. From heaven above to earth, God came and touched this man, and they couldn't shut up about it. He commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He's done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Ha! If only they could know what he could do, what else he could do. Because he would go forward to break the chains of death. He would reverse the course of death and destruction that the whole world has been on because of that liar and those two sinners at the beginning and all the sinners since. Jesus brought life and health and wholeness, as Isaiah said he would. "The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." In our Advent season, we reflect upon that from heaven above to earth, Jesus came. And we reflect and rejoice in the fact that our Lord Jesus comes and he faithfully speaks to us that word, "Ephphatha," so that we can hear the most wonderful good news that could ever come. We've heard it. The most wonderful news that there is salvation for us. And not only do we hear this most wonderful news, but he looses our tongues so that we can't help but confess the glorious riches of Christ, who made himself nothing and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, for our salvation. Our lips can no more keep silent because our Advent King comes and crowds into our most intimate space. Jesus, the very word of life, who spoke words of creation, speaks to us words of forgiveness into our otherwise deaf ears. He takes away whatever would keep us from hearing his word. And he gives us his words to proclaim glorious praises about him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. From heaven above to earth he came, and we cannot be silent about it. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.